relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
You're listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
I know your pain. I know you're hurt. We had an election that was stolen from us. It was a landslide election, and everyone knows it, especially the others. But you have to go home now. We have to have peace. We have to have law and order. We have to respect our great people in law and order. We don't want anybody hurt. It's a very tough period of time. There's never been a time like this where such a thing happened, where they could take it away from all of us, from me, from you, from our country. This was a fraudulent election, but we can't play into the hands of these people. We have to have peace. So go home. We love you. You're very special. You've seen what happens. You see the way others are treated that are so bad and so evil. I know how you feel, but go home and go home in peace.
We have to have peace. Go home in peace. That was the video the president recorded yesterday after the violence in Congress. And what did Big Tech do? Big Tech, in response to his call for peace, made it impossible to retweet or to like that video, and then suspended his accounts. Mark Zuckerberg, the head of Facebook, has since issued this statement. The shocking events of the last 24 hours clearly demonstrate that President Donald Trump intends to use his remaining time in office to undermine the peaceful and lawful transition of power to his elected successor, Joe Biden. How was that evidenced? His decision to use his platform to condone rather than to condemn the actions of his supporters at the Capitol building has rightly disturbed people in the U.S. and around the world. He did nothing of the sort. In fact, he called for peace. You just heard his words. We removed these statements yesterday because we judged that their effect and likely their intent would be to provoke further violence. So this is the Orwellian world we live in, where a call for peace, for people to go home in peace, is provoking further violence. Following the certification of the election results by Congress, the priority for the whole country must now be to ensure that the remaining 13 days and the days after inauguration pass peacefully and in accordance with established democratic norms. And who exactly, Mark Zuckerberg, defines those democratic norms? You? Did anyone elect you, Mark Zuckerberg? And here's the most galling of all. We believe the risks of allowing the president to continue to use our Facebook service during this period are simply too
great. A man who received 75 million votes, his use of Facebook is too great. Therefore, we are extending the block we have placed on his Facebook and Instagram accounts indefinitely and for at least the next 2 weeks until the peaceful transition of power is complete. Who the hell do you think you are, Mark Zuckerberg? You have no mandate. You have no authority to arrogate to yourself any role in the peaceful transition of power. You're a sad little geek who is in the right place at the right time, who's acting like a fascist. Understand, it's not about fair use doctrine on radio. It's about social media. Let's go to your calls. Let's go to David in Connecticut, line 3. Welcome, David.
Sebastian.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, Sebastian.
David, go ahead. You are live in front of millions of people. Go ahead.
Yes, I am so upset as to what's going on, but I have something to say to you in Hungarian because I grew up with this, with my family saying this about Democrats and liberals. And the phrase that I grew up with was Edge Bolond Sazat Chinal.
One crazy person.
And I'm saying it now. Yeah. Let me tell
those who happen not to speak Hungarian, because there's only 13 million in the world that do what
I know,
that says.
I know.
Okay, Ed Bolon Sazat Chinal means one crazy person creates another 100. Yeah, you're right, David.
That's it. That's it. And that's what we have now.
Yeah.
That's what's happening. What has happened now to our country, it is disgusting.
It is.
My grandfather fought, and I still have his uniform. He fought in the Hungarian army.
Wow.
And he immigrated to this country. He saw what was happening over in Hungary and Europe, and he took off his uniform and brought his family here to this country back in 1913. And I still have my grandfather's uniform.
David, fun, wonderful story. Thank you for sharing it with us and our millions of listeners. And you are right. It is like a disease, this craziness, this insanity. But we have to continue to do what we do and to recommit ourselves to the values of this nation and to the truth. Adam in Utah has a very, very big question. Line 2. Welcome, Adam.
Hey, how you doing, Gorka?
Good, but why are you calling me Gorka? I find that strange.
Sorry. Anyway, I love your show, but here's my question. I study history, and something that's been on my mind just after yesterday is that, like, if the founding fathers were alive today and they were, like, throwing tea in the harbor in Boston, like, would they be condemned or applauded? And then at what point is, like, political violence or action, like, approved based on, like, the level of tyranny or oppression of rights? If that makes sense, I guess. I guess my question is that, you know, like, I saw all the media yesterday was condemning the actions of storming the Capitol, but that's what I thought of. Like, if George Washington did it, would he be condemned? And at what point is it okay to do it?
Great question, Adam. I'll give you the answer. George Washington would be condemned or would be praised based upon whether or not he voted for Joe Biden or Donald Trump. That's the sad truth. Now, as to your question of when is violence justified, there is no empirical standard or metric. There is no mathematical formula for at what degree of usurpations of systematic dictatorial unrepresentative behavior suddenly the switch is flicked and resistance can go from being non-kinetic to violent. But if you look back with hindsight over history's violent occurrences, whether it's the French Revolution, whether it was the Hungarian Revolution, whether it was our own American Revolution, there's clearly some point at which the amount of oppressive behavior, which isn't random or just capricious, but is repetitive and is systematic, raises to a level at which the ordinary citizen says, enough. And I think we're not there in America. We are clearly in a very volatile place. Our Constitution is being systematically undermined, but not in ways that compare to 1789 or 1776 or 1956. But your question as to whether or not Washington and the Founding Fathers would be praised or would be excoriated today, sadly, depends upon one thing. If they'd voted for President Trump, they'd be called insurgents. If they'd voted for Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, the legacy media, the quote-unquote swamp elite, would praise them as freedom fighters, fighting for social justice. You know that as well as I do. Next, one of our favorite guests, one of the founders of The Federalist.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America first.
You know you've made it when the Pragers are listening to you live. Dennis, thanks for the text. You love that little story of the Hungarian saying from our caller, one crazy person makes 100. And he's going to share with us his special stories about Hungary. Well, he says he's going to come on the show sometime, and I can't wait to share. He's got a very special one about being in Budapest for the first time. Be safe out there, Pragers. We love you. America loves you. Somebody else who we love, because he's one of the best guests on this show, and he fights the good fight every with his great team at thefederalist.com, is the co-founder of that illustrious publication. Happy New Year, Ben Domenech.
Happy New Year. Great to be with you as always. And thank you for that kind introduction. It's always a pleasure to hear it flowing off of your lips in terms of into the ears of your audience, just given how great it sounds, and also how much it just sort of boosts your own feeling to hear that from someone, given how isolated we've had to be in these pandemic times.
Whenever you need a boost, my friend, just tell me and I'll record a message for you. We'll get it to you. We'll send you the audio. I want to play you some audio and video cuts. I want to read to you some stuff that's going on Twitter. But first, let me ask you this. And we never rehearse these things with our guests because that kind of kills it. Nothing's changed for me personally. I'm going to do a little kind of mini monologue later about my relationship with the president as of today compared to my relationship to the president as of yesterday. And for me personally, what I believe in hasn't changed. Can I ask you, as one of the co-founders of this amazing organization, has anything changed politically, morally, spiritually for Ben Domenech in the last 24 hours?
That's an interesting question. I guess the one thing I would say is that I wish that the president had done more to direct the focus of the people who came to Washington. I think that the role of a leader, of a statesman, is to take the impulses of the people who they serve and direct them in a healthy way, a legal way, a constitutional way in the context of America. And that's the difference between someone who takes on that role of being a leader and a statesman and someone who just is looking to be at the head of whatever crowd exists. And to me, that's something that I think the president failed to do yesterday. I think that he could have done a better job of directing people. And honestly, I think if he had just urged them in the context of his speech to be peaceful and to treat the people that they ran into on Capitol Hill with respect, I think that might have made some difference. Maybe you would still see what happened yesterday, which I considered to be an embarrassment, happen. But I also think that this is a situation where, frankly, you can't expect the president to have control of everyone in a crowd like that. When so many thousands of people show up, you can't expect him to have a direct connection with all of them to affect their actions so significantly. But I do wish that he had tried to direct it in a more healthy way before all of this began and before it went sideways and got out of control in ways that, frankly, I think the Capitol Police should have been prepared to defend, prepared to respond to. They clearly were not. And clearly there's a bipartisan anger at them from Mitch McConnell, from Tim Ryan, from others. And there's going to be consequences. And I think that there should be.
You are now, a media mogul. I have to ask you what your response is to the media's coverage of the events of the last 24 hours. A former cabinet member, Leon Panetta, and I'll play the audio later just so I can, prove he said this, said that in his 50 years of service, government service, he has never seen anything worse than the events of last year. Of last night. This is despite, September the 11th. This is despite the Iranian hostage siege. So have we lost any sense of reality, Ben Domenech?
I think that that's absurd. I mean, that's absolute hyperbole on his part, and it's irresponsible. But frankly, I don't expect any less at this point. We've seen so much hyperbole and so many falsehoods from people who've occupied positions of authority and power, secretaries of defense and former heads of the CIA and the like, alleging all manner of things about the president and Russia. The most recent example being, of course, the Hunter Biden story, which led them all to sign on to that letter, which was just a hoax in terms of all the lies they told. But one thing I do think that we should say is this was an act of disrespect, of iconoclasm. It should be rejected in the same way that we reject the people who climbed all over the statue of Andrew Jackson on a horse outside the White House. It is with different motivations. It's of the same character, and it should be condemned in the same way. The difference is the media was fine with that. They were absolutely fine with that. They were fine with setting St. John's Church on fire. They made a bigger stink out of what was done to clear that area so that they could move people back and set up a wall than they did about a historic church being lit on fire. Because they believe that the arguments of those leftists in that square are justified and that the arguments of those who showed up at Capitol Hill yesterday are not. And that's something that is completely partisan. It's totally biased. It's obvious to everyone who pays attention to it. And you can just, the scent of disrespect you have for anyone who is on the right who has a grievance is just very tangible. And look, I think that the people who broke into the Capitol building did something that was totally abhorrent and wrong. It's illegal. It's wrong. It should be condemned. You should be punished to the fullest extent of the law. I also think the people who tear down statues are wrong and that they should be punished to the fullest extent of the law. This is not that complicated. But doing this thing, whatever the motivation, is wrong. We are a nation of laws and not men. And we should not fall into the trap of thinking that the existence of one man, in this case, President Trump, or the existence of one Senate candidate is the difference between total decay and the continuation of the Republic. I mean, not to point out this, in a negative way, I'm sure many of your listeners are in Georgia, but the idea that the line between freedom and despotism is Kelly Loeffler is ludicrous to me, and I'm never going to be convinced that that's the case. I believe in America, and I believe in its people, and I believe we have the capacity to move on from what I think is a terribly divisive moment in our history. And I think that we do have the possibility within us to learn and grow from this moment. But that's going to require a lot of people to break away from the establishment media and their ridiculous narrative that is just full of a host of lies.
But it is a self-indictment of the media and the establishment and the so-called elite that what you just said, that you condemn both the events in Congress yesterday and the tearing down of statues at the same time, is the unusual opinion. And that tells you what you need to know. But what an amazing message. And I think that should be our message for today. And I'm grateful for you, Ben Domenech. Believe in America, because we're bigger than any of this. Back with the co-founder of The Federalist, thefederalist.com, after these messages here on America First. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
The truth. The whole truth. Nothing but the truth. That's Dr. G's specialty. America First.
Bit of Joe Jackson. Thank you, Professor Shad. The call board is full. Neil Jarrett. Leith. Tony, Mary, don't go anywhere, but we are continuing our discussion with one of the founders of one of the most reliable news sources out there. It's thefederalist.com. He's Ben Domenech. Follow him right now. B. Domenech. That's D-O-M-E-N-E-C-H. Ben, let me just read to you a couple of things. ABC has an individual who is called their political director. Sounds a little bit fascistic for me. His name is Rick Klein. And in a blog and a tweet, he said the following words. Apparently, the tweet has since been deleted, according to you. Quote, even aside from impeachment and the 25th Amendment talk, Trump will be an ex-president in 13 days. The fact is that getting rid of Trump is the easy part. Cleansing the movement he commands, or getting rid of what he represents to so many Americans, is going to be something else. And it's not just journalists. Former campaign manager for Barack Obama, David Plouffe, on Twitter wrote this, of course. It is not enough to simply beat Trump. He must be destroyed thoroughly. His kind must not rise again. In modern history, Ben, who talks of cleansing their opponents and making sure they don't rise again? I'm trying to recall.
not a lot of very pleasant people. A lot of people who have very shiny boots, in fact,
yes.
are known for that type of language. Look, I think that I'm glad Rick Klein deleted his tweet. I'm not surprised by David Plouffe's comment. I do think, though, that one of the things we need to respect about this moment, and you know this, Seb, because you pay attention to media, is, and I've been waiting for it, the issuance of strange new respect. Every Republican who departs from office, the ex-presidents they receive strange new respect. The ex-candidates receive strange new respect. Mitt Romney, the most evil man you could possibly come across. He's, you know, bent on giving people cancer and stealing your birth control and all these other things. The instant he becomes not a threat to people, oh, well, he's a statesman. He's the model of a statesman. Every Republican should be like him. Look, this is a situation that we are going to see again. And whatever you can think of in this moment, you know, that no one's going to be treated as badly as Trump has been treated, et cetera, that is going to happen. And you can already see the initial frames of it. You know, the danger of Senator Josh Hawley. He's like a smart version of Trump. You know, that kind of thing. It's that is going to be their tone about whoever emerges as the standard bearer in 2024. And it will also be this person is tainted because presumably, you know, Trump would support them, you know, in a general election. And that just shows you how evil and racist they must be. This destructionist attitude is fundamentally un-American. It is antithetical to everything we believe about ourselves and our capacity to resolve our differences via elections, and which should be rejected as such. It's just, I mean, I'm disgusted by it. And I wish that we would have a more mature media and more mature political conversation that recognizes that these people aren't evaporating tomorrow. They're still here. They're still Americans. And we have to find a way forward together, even if it is with the dysfunctional family tension or something
but
along those lines.
We only have 60 seconds left, but I have to ask you this because I can't believe you said it. I want to make sure I heard it right. Do you really think that after he leaves office, Trump will be given the respect that Mitt Romney was?
He won't be given that, but it'll be whoever comes next. They're worse than Trump because they're more dangerous.
Right,
they're
right,
savvier.
Right.
They're smarter. They'll be able to manipulate power more effectively than him. And it'll be something along the lines of say what you will about Donald Trump, but he didn't have this aspect to him.
He wasn't young. He wasn't able to stay in office for 40 years or whatever. Yeah, that's I can see that. Yes, the hyperbole will be piled on because he will be even worse than Donald Trump. We have been talking to Ben Domenech. Follow him right now. B. Domenech on Twitter. Also, he is the co-founder of The Federalist, thefederalist.com. Actually, right now, because it's one of our most popular articles, and we are so mired in the miasma of misinformation, we've got to repost our list of the 14 most reliable news sources out there. One of our most popular articles. Eric, let's put it up on Twitter, let's put it up on Facebook, on Parler, everywhere else, so people can see The Federalist and all the other sources that we recommend. Happy New Year. God bless you. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, if you are in pain today and have found relief nowhere else, you must try this product that has liberated me from my lower back pain for nigh on 2 years now. I'm a super skeptical guy. When Pete and Seth Talbot came to me, I said, I'm not endorsing anything unless it's real and it works. I tried Relief Factor. 2 weeks later, I was pain-free from a lower back pain issue that had plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. Truly incredible. Find out if it could work for you like it works for me and tens of thousands of your fellow Americans by going to ReliefFactor.com and ordering the 3-week quick starter pack for the paltry sum of $19.95. That translates to less than a dollar a day to find out if Relief Factor could work for you. What are you waiting for? Don't you deserve to find out? Call them today. 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com. My guarantee to you. My promise, Dr. G's guarantee, if you try ReliefFactor.com morning and night as I do every day for 3 days, you will know if it works for you like it works for me. ReliefFactor.com.
News and talk radio is still really popular, even in the internet age. What you are about to hear them say is mind-boggling.
Here's looking at you, Snowflake. America first.
Boggling Stelty's mind? That's not hard. He's Brian Stelter. He works with CNN.
Hot off the presses. Can somebody tell Michelle Obama, when you're making a press statement, don't make it two long pages. Seriously, what did Jeff say? Bill Ayers, have you not learned how to do? I mean, you know, the Weather Underground, the Prairie Man. It was too long back then when you were blowing up bombs in America, and it's too long when you're writing stuff for Michelle and for Obama today. one sentence about President Trump from Michelle Obama. Why is she writing about this? Was she even a politician? Did anybody vote for her? Anyway, now is the time for Silicon Valley companies to stop enabling this monstrous behavior and go even further than they have already by permanently banning this man from their platforms and putting in place policies to prevent their technology from being used by the nation's leaders to fuel insurrection. Well, I guess we'll have to ban all the Democrat Party as well then, from Maxine Waters to Eric Holder to AOC. And by the way, for the record, for the 58th time since 3 a.m. when I did an interview for the British radio, unarmed civilians cannot implement an insurrection, you dolts. In the history of mankind, there has never been an unarmed insurrection anywhere, ever. Okay, let's go to your calls. Let's go to line one. Neil in Arizona, waiting very patiently.
How did you, good sir? You already mentioned Bill Ayers and, of course, his wife, Bernadine Dorn. I was asked to join the Weathermen back in high school. They, of course, murdered people and bombed buildings with attempted murder. Maxine Waters, she wanted to let the gangs after the riots in L.A. keep the guns under the Second Amendment that they stole during the riots. Eric, I call him Eric Withholder. Eric Withholder, fast and furious, armed people that wanted to do damage to our civilian population, murdered people. These people that are left have classes on how to destroy our system of government. They did yesterday by infiltrating and getting a bunch of dummies to go in and break open windows and break open doors. And then, of course, it's called operator failure when you shoot somebody that you don't need to shoot. So the whole thing boils down to it is that we have a lot of people that are frustrated and people that will light the fuse that are not our fuse. Interestingly enough, I had a lady, a neighbor lady, Hungarian, recognized my brass Hungarian hand grenade fuse assembly, and she knew when to light the fuse. She said she threw them at the Germans and the Russians and then escaped to the U.S. We don't need to do anything destructive, but we need to stop the people that are.
No, that's absolutely right. We should not be using violence, but we have to stop those that are propagating it. And you're right. The connections between the domestic terrorist organization, the Weather Underground, Bill Ayers, Bernadine Dorn, Obama, Hillary, the left, it's all documented. In fact, I documented it myself. I was inspired by the late Andrew Breitbart, his autobiography, Righteous Indignation, Chapter 6 changed my life. And then Chapter 3 of my latest book, The War for America's Soul, is where I documented all, from Antonio Gramsci up through Saul Alinsky, Bernadine Dorn, and Obama and beyond. So, yes, thank you. It is not something of the last 4 years, 8 years, 40 years. It's the last 80 years. They have a plan. It's time for us to get organized. Let's go to Leif in Detroit, line three.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, how's it going, Sebastian?
Good.
Huge fan.
Thank you.
Love your minion bobblehead there in the background.
Is it working? Is it bobbling? It is bobbling. Good.
It
thank
is.
You.
So I live in Michigan. I live in Detroit. Racial tension is pretty high here. I mean, you see it everywhere you go. I've been following everything pretty closely, and you know, it seems like a lot of Trump supporters are kind of holding on to a last thread, and it's really a kind of a breeding grounds for conspiracy theorists. I've seen a couple of Lynn Wood's posts on Twitter. I'm not sure if he got banned or not, but he's been saying some pretty crazy stuff, and I just wanted to get your opinion on that, on what you thought about you know, his accusations about Hunter Biden and you know, all the child stuff, and it just seems kind of far-fetched. I don't know if there's any truth to it, but he did call that Mike Pence was going to be a traitor. And
no, he didn't lay. Do you remember what he tweeted? What did he tweet exactly?
Well, he said Mike Pence was going to be a traitor.
No, he said if Mike Pence betrays us, what did he say was going to happen? What did he say? Do you remember?
Didn't he say some sort of capital punishment or something along
those lines? Yeah, this is what the lunatic Glenn Wood said. He said if Mike Pence doesn't overturn the election, Secretary Pompeo will save America. Mike Pence will be lined up in front of a firing squad and will squeal. That's why Lynn Wood is a crazy man.
So I'm kind of with you on that, you know, with that. But here's my biggest problem: is you look at the media, and they're blatantly silencing everyone that supports Trump. And not only are they silencing Trump supporters, they're labeling us as Trump supporters. You know, people that voted for Trump, they're, you know, a lot of the people that were out there at that rally, they weren't out there just for Trump. They were out there for truth.
Of course.
They were out there for honesty. And the fact that they're kicking people off Twitter, silencing our voice, all these big tech CEO guys, it's making me sick to my stomach. And I'm sitting in my house. I feel like a prisoner in my own country, that I can't even go out and say, you know, I support Donald Trump. It's like people look at you, oh, you're a racist, you're this, you're that. I'm not a racist. I'm just a normal guy. I go to work, I do my thing, and everything that Trump's done, he followed through on what he said he was going to do, and that's why I voted for him, because I knew he was going to do that.
If you think because you're a Trump supporter you can't leave your house, you need to reassess your attitude to the threat we face. If good men are afraid to leave their house simply because of the political party they vote for, we got bigger problems in this nation. Thank you for your call. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka. Don't touch that dial.
Making sense out of today's news, here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome back, dear friends. If you like what you're listening to, and I think quite a few of you do, because our numbers are fabulous, millions of listeners. We just broke, what was it, how many million? How many million of views on YouTube, Eric?
Over 27 million.
I love the way he says that. 27 million views on YouTube. If you like what you're listening to, support us by supporting our sponsors, including the great Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, the pillow that never gets hot, never loses shape, just cuddles your cranium through the night. Get 60% off with my name. Call 800-829-8468, MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A, not $69.98, $29.98, MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. Is it true? Do we have somebody calling from the UK? And is their name P-A-R-W? Parw? Welcome to America First.
Oh, hi, sir. Hi. Thank you for taking my phone call.
Sure. What's your question?
Hi. Okay. So just want to make my question quickly. First of all, I mean, Barack Obama and Zuckerberg is quick to say that President Trump is responsible, but I'm thinking, why didn't they say anything when BLM protesters burned down buildings, killed people, like including David Dawn? And the other thing is, since your TP USA speech, I guess like Democrats have been trying very hard to find a solution of like how Joe Biden can be put in the office. That's why they made this last time, you know, plan to thingy. My question is that why didn't Zuckerberg say that Antifa protesters went inside the building when we can see the photographs of the people who were Antifa protesters before? Now, the other question is that what's going to happen to the ballot suitcases which were taken out from the tables underneath in Georgia? I mean, you know, these questions, are you just going to disappear? I mean, what I'm thinking is that it's going to be vanished, like, just like Hillary Clinton email.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, great question, and thank you for calling in from the UK. Let's do that in reverse. What happened to the suitcases? Well, the local authorities, the election officials, gave a kind of blanket statement. Say, oh, we looked into that. It was fine. Those were real ballots. And as you just indicated, Parv, this will be completely jettisoned. This will be dropped into the memory hole January the 20th forever and will never be discussed again. When it comes to why Zuckerberg didn't say anything against or didn't ban anybody or lock anybody's accounts related to BLM or Antifa during the violence that left more than 30 Americans dead in the last 10 months, I presume your question is rhetorical. It's because he agrees with them. He's from Silicon Valley. He thinks that they really are fighting for social justice. And if a few people died, well, you know, the ends justify the means, don't they? That's the mantra of the left, and has been since 1848 and the Communist Manifesto. Stay with us. This is America First.